Last night in the Taraweeh, alhamdulillah, the 19th para was recited, which is the completion of Suratul Furqan, followed by Suratul Shu'ara, and then portion of Suratul Naml was also recited. Suratul Furqan, which began in the 18th para, is a Makki surah, and as mentioned many a time, that in the Makki surah, the main subject matter is with regards to the fundamentals of deen. In that surah also Allah Ta'ala mentions that, particularly Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions the greatness, the sacredness, and also the exalted position of the Qur'an Majeed. And also Allah Ta'ala mentions the truthfulness of Risalat, that is of Nabuwat. Allah Ta'ala also mentions in this surah many of the objections and stubborn statements of the Kuffar with regards to the Qur'an Majeed, and also with regards to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They are mentioned here, and the response to that and the answers to that have also been given in the surah. Allah Ta'ala begins the surah, Suratul Furqan, with the statement that blessed is that being who has revealed the Furqan. The Furqan refers to the Qur'an Majeed, and its attribute is that it is Furqan, it is the distinguisher, the criterion which distinguishes between Haqq and Batil, between truth and falsehood, and between that which is permissible and that which is not permissible. So Allah Ta'ala has revealed the Qur'an Majeed ala abdihi, upon his servant, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In various places in the Qur'an Majeed, Allah Ta'ala describes Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as Abd. Abd means to be a servant and slave. And this is the greatest honor for man, that in front of the majesty and the greatness and the exalted position of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, a person completely humbles himself and everything he does with regards to his way of life, etc., is in complete conformity and obedience to the commandment of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and as Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala had ordered. So Allah Ta'ala mentions that we had revealed this Furqan, the Qur'an Majeed, upon our servant, لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا, so that he can be a warner for the world, for the people of the world. Ya Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Risalat and Nabuwat is being mentioned, it is for Al-Alameen. In other words, for all, the whole universe. Unlike the previous Anbiya alayhi salam, that their Nabuwat was confined to a specific era and time, and also to a specific nation or community. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Nabuwat is universal. Those who deny the finality of the Nabuwat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they are actually denying these types of verses which are clearly mentioned in the Qur'an Majeed, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Nabuwat is for all the people right up till the day of Qiyamah, to all communities and to all nations. Further, Allah Ta'ala says that it is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala alone to whom belongs the sovereignty and kingship of the skies and the earth, and Allah Ta'ala had not prescribed for himself any child, like how the Christians say, and nor has Allah Ta'ala prescribed for himself any partner in his kingdom and in his sovereignty, as the mushrikeen claim. Further, Allah Ta'ala mentions concerning his quality, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, that Allah Ta'ala has created everything. The quality of khalq, which is the quality of creating, is the exclusive attribute of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and to create means to bring something into existence from nothing, from no pre-existing substance or material. To create something then without any pre-existing material, that is called khalq, and it is the exclusive attribute of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Man, which he makes or manufactures, he uses pre-existing materials in the form of raw materials, etc., not that he makes something out of nothing. So therefore, the quality of khalq is exclusive for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا, that Allah Ta'ala in his creation has fashioned it in such a way that it is with perfection, and it is with specific qualities. reference is being made to the fact that every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been created for a certain purpose. And that creation, the way Allah ta'ala created it, its appearance, its form, its properties, its components, and its effects are peculiar to that particular type of creation. No creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that Allah ta'ala did not create it in a way which will serve the purpose of his creation. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions many of the absurd and obstinate statements of the people of the kuffar with regards, first of all, to the Quran Majeed. Allah ta'ala says that وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا إِفْكٌ إِفْتَرَاهُ. They say that this Quran Majeed, the kuffar say that this Quran Majeed is such which has been forged by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and falsely attributed to Allah ta'ala, and they say in the compilation of this book, they say other people have helped Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their reference was to the scholars of the Christians and the Jews. They say they helped Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in compiling and composing this Quran Majeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that just what they say is grave injustice, and it is a complete and sheer lie. The reason being that those that they refer to, that they helped Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in compiling the Quran Majeed, were non-Arabs. And you, O people of Makkah, the mushrikeen, you regard yourself to be the most eloquent in the Arabic language. When you yourself are unable to compile any portion of any verse or any surah which can match the Quran Majeed in any way, then how do you expect others who you say helped in the compilation of the Quran Majeed, how can they now compile the Quran Majeed, a masterpiece in its own and which has no match? How can that ever be possible? Another of their false claims was that the Quran Majeed is the fables and the stories of the people of before, which had been dictated to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam morning and evening, and that is now, and then he now put it into a compilation and called it the Quran Majeed. Allah ta'ala, in response to this allegation, mentions that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone who has revealed the scripture, who knows the secrets of the skies and the earth. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is knowledge is of that level and of that caliber that Allah knows everything, the secrets of everything, and no one has that level of knowledge. So how can they say that they have compiled the Quran Majeed? Without such knowledge, no person is able to compile the masterpiece such as the Quran Majeed. Further on, concerning the further allegations of theirs was concerning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what type of Rasul is this, that he eats food and walks in the marketplaces? In other words, how can he be a Nabi who is just a human like us, who does what normal humans do? So how can he be a Nabi? Another of their allegation was that why is it that an angel has not been sent down to him who can act as a warner together with him? Why is there we don't see an angel now accompanying him? Another of the allegation was that why is it that treasures of the earth and are not sent down to him? In other words, he doesn't have riches which others have. Why doesn't he have treasures sent down to him? Or why doesn't he have an orchard from which he can eat? In other words, the riches of the world. Allah Ta'ala then says that these Zalimeen, these wrongful, these oppressors and wrongful people are such that they tell their people that whom you are following is just a person who is bewitched, on whom jadu and magic has been made. In other words, different ways they now accuse Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of all wrong things, and trying to prove that how can he be a Nabi. Allah Ta'ala says, Undur kayfa darabu lakal amsal. See how the people coin different types of examples concerning you. In other words, they don't have any credible argument to verify their claims. And sometimes they say this, and sometimes they say that. And sometimes, as mentioned elsewhere, they call Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, na'udhu billah, insane. Sometimes they call him a poet. Sometimes they call him a person who practices witchcraft. The point was, they could not deny the influence of the Quran and Majid and the message of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the people. That's why they also are in a type of bewilderment and calling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam by different names and trying to justify their claims. But in reality, they are such that they cannot verify their words. They're just making up examples and stories which Allah had mentioned here. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions towards the end of the para, which is part of Surah Al-Furqan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whichever Nabi had been sent prior to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was also a human being. He also ate food. He also walked in the marketplaces for his needs. And so this is just a claim of these people against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without any verification, because all Anbiya were sent with the same qualities, that they were humans like others. Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً, and we have made some for others a test, that these people make such claims. Anyway, Allah Ta'ala then responds to that allegation of theirs in this way. The 19th para in the beginning, further of the absurd claims of the mushrikeen are mentioned. They say, those people who don't believe, who don't have conviction with meeting with us, in other words, they don't believe in Qiyamah, they say, why has an angel not been sent to us? Either to verify the claim of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he is an actual Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, or why has an angel not been sent as a Nabi to us? O Nara Rabbana, or why is it that we can't see our Rabb? This was also one of their feeble excuses for not accepting the message, that why can't we see our Rabb? Allah Ta'ala says that they are actually proud and haughty within themselves, and they have transgressed a great transgression. In other words, they deem themselves to be they are so haughty and proud that they deem themselves fit to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas none can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just did the aqidah in the kitab, that in a state of wakefulness, nobody has seen and nobody can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, the bounty of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will be the greatest bounty in Jannat, that will definitely occur for the mu'mineen. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions some scenes of the day of Qiyamah, and on that day, people, the kuffar, will then lament the fact that they had befriended the wrong people who now steered them away from the correct path. They will say, Ya waylata laytani lam attakhid fulalan khalila, woe unto me, if only I had not made so and so a friend. So it is important that we see whom we befriend. The ulama explained that only those types of people should be befriended who have the quality of that when you see them, they remind you of Allah Ta'ala. When they speak, they add to your knowledge and they also remind you of the Akhirat. These are the type of people. Otherwise, a person should not have bosom friends of like others, because as mentioned in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mar'u ala deeni khalilihi, falyandur ahadukum may yukhalil. A person will be on the deen and way and religion of that person whom he befriends. In other words, very easily a person can be influenced by the type of friends he keeps. Therefore, be watchful and be mindful of whom you be mindful with whom you have friendship with. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala mentions the lament and complaint of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Rasul said, O my Rabb, my nation has completely abandoned this Quran and Majid. The Mufassirin have different views that was this complaint of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his lifetime, or will it be on the day of Qiyamah that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will complain in the court of Allah Ta'ala that my nation had completely abandoned and forsaken this Quran and Majid. Those who don't believe in the Quran and Majid, definitely they have forsaken the Quran and Majid. But even those who have Iman on the Quran and Majid, the ulama explain that to abandon the Quran and Majid is included this, that the rights of the Quran and Majid are not fulfilled with regards to its recitation and acting upon the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contained in the Quran and Majid. That is also included in abandoning the Quran and Majid. Allah Ta'ala protect us from there. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then again mentions many of the frightful scenes of Qiyamah, and in between Allah Ta'ala mentions another of the absurd objections of the kuffar. They say, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدَةً, that why is it that this Qur'an Majeed had not been revealed all at once? As was the case with, for example, the Torah, the book revealed, the scripture revealed to Musa alayhi salam, it was revealed all at once. But the Qur'an Majeed was revealed bit by bit over a period of about 23 years. So this was also an objection of theirs. Those who don't want to accept, they have thousands of reasons and excuses. But the point is that they don't want to accept. Allah Ta'ala says concerning that, that the gradual revelation of the Qur'an Majeed was so that we, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we strengthen your heart through it, and we have revealed it gradually, and we have revealed it bit by bit. The ulama explain that the wisdom behind the gradual revelation of the Qur'an Majeed is one that to give Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam consolement and encouragement. On the onslaught of the accusations of the kuffar, and the mocking and the ridiculing and the rejecting of the message, the gradual revelation of the Quran according to the need, according to the objections of the kuffar, thus gave Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam great consolement and also encouragement. Another reason for the gradual revelation of the Quran Majeed is that it will be then easier to understand, to memorize, to act upon, and also to remember. So this is also one of the wisdoms of the gradual revelation of the Qur'an Majeed. It's just like a rainfall. If on a plantation rain falls all of a sudden in great quantity, it could be harmful for the crop. But that rain which is intermittent and it is in a gradual way, it is readily absorbed by the ground, and the ground becomes gets irrigated very well, and it is beneficial for there. Similarly, we can understand the reason for the gradual revelation of the Qur'an Majeed. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions many of the incidents of the nations of the past, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then destroyed those nations when they refused to accept the message of Haqq. Thereafter, Allah ta'ala then mentions from the third ruku onwards of the 19th para, His great creative powers, how many bounties Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed mankind with, starting with the bounty of a shadow, which outwardly is the effect of the rays of the sun, but actually it is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how it is reduced and it is then lengthened according to the movement of the sun. Thereafter, Allah ta'ala mentions the bounty of the night. We made it a libas, a clothing. Just as clothing covers the body, when it's nightfall, it covers in darkness the entire region where night falls. And also Allah Ta'ala mentions the great bounty of sleep. We have made the sleep for you a means of rest. Ask those who suffer from insomnia and can't get sleep, what difficulties they undergo. So sleep also is also a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala says that the day we made it nushura, a time to spread out and earn your sustenance and look for your sustenance. Mention is also made of the rains Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down, which is also a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions also His great qudrat, that two different masses of water, sweet and quenching on one side, and bitter and salty on the other side, but when they sometimes, at certain places, they flow together in such a way as if there is a barrier between the two. And this is witnessed in many places of the world, that the sweet waters of the land, they mix with the salty and bitter waters of the ocean. And for a distance, they remain completely separated without intermixing. This is the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala mentions concerning that also. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the fourth ruku, Allah ta'ala then mentions the qualities and characteristics of the sincere servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala mentions 13 qualities of of his bannas wa ibadur rahman. That is the first quality, that the bannas, they are ibad of Allah Ta'ala, who every aspect of their life is in complete conformance with the dictates of Allah Ta'ala and also the will of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. They submit themselves fully to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Another of their qualities is that they walk humbly on the earth, and when they have to now confront and argue with the ignorant, they don't fall into dispute with them. They say salam. In other words, they don't fall into dispute. They make salam to them and they carry on. Further on, one of the other qualities is that they spend their nights in the worship of Allah Ta'ala, in prostration and standing in the worship of Allah Ta'ala and making the dua, despite them being engaged in worship, that isrif anna azab jahannam. Oh Allah Ta'ala, turn away the punishment of Jahannam from us. So despite them being engaged in the worship and obedience of Allah Ta'ala, but they are also fearful for the punishment of Allah Ta'ala. Thereafter, further qualities are mentioned, that they spend what Allah Ta'ala has given them, and they are not extravagant, nor are they miserly, but they adopt the middle path of moderation between the two. They don't call to anyone else besides Allah Ta'ala. They don't take the life of a soul unjustly, and they don't fornicate. Whoever does so, Allah Ta'ala says, they will receive punishment by Allah Ta'ala, a great sin, which will be multiplied in the form of punishment for them on the day of Qiyamah. Unless a person makes tawbah, does good actions, and Allah Ta'ala will then convert his evils into good deeds. Not only forgive, but Allah Ta'ala will then convert all his bad deeds into good deeds. Further qualities of these Ibadur Rahman is that they don't, they are not present, at the, they don't testify to falsehood, nor do they, and when they pass by futility, they pass by gracefully in a good way. And when they are reminded of the ayat and verses of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, they don't fall upon those verses deaf and blind. In other words, they heed to the verses of Allah Ta'ala and they act accordingly, and also they make the dua that, O Allah Ta'ala, grant us the coolness of our eyes in our spouses and in our children, and make us the leaders, make us the imam and guide for the muttaqeen. They are, a man of the house is the imam already for the people of the house. Here the main dua is that, make those under me, my wife, my children, those who are under me, make them muttaqi. In other words, make them Allah fearing and Allah conscious. Allah Ta'ala then promises for them, will be lofty stages in Jannat. Allah Ta'ala grant us these qualities and also Jannah. Further on, the Surah Al-Shu'ara is also a Makki surah. Here too, the fundamentals of deen have been mentioned. Some proofs of Tawheed, also of Risalat, also have been mentioned here, together with many incidents of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam and the nations of the past have been mentioned here in quite some detail. Musa alayhi salam's encounter with Fir'aun has been mentioned here. Many places in the Qur'an Majeed, here too, in much detail. And his confrontation with the magicians, and the magicians who then accepted Islam, although Fir'aun threatened them, but they remained firm on their iman. All that incident has been mentioned here. Followed by then the incident of Musa alayhi salam with his nation, the Bani Israel, and then it is followed by the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam and how he propagated the message of Tawheed to his father and to his nation. In a beautiful way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expounds and explains all these incidents. Then it is followed by the incidents of the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. These incidents are repeated over and over in the Qur'an Majeed, so that we, the ummah of Muhammad, of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can take heed that, and we should be also fearful that it must not be that we reject the message of Haqq and such punishments then overtake us. Despite it being repeated at so many places, but how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these incidents, the reader remains completely captivated because of the style of presentation of these incidents and the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had explained to them. Those who have a little bit of understanding, even last night in the Taraweeh, how it was read beautifully by the Imam, all these incidents, a person remains captivated, he doesn't get bored, because Allah Ta'ala mentioned it in a very eloquent and very beautiful style, that a person doesn't get bored or tired when reading these incidents in different ways. Here the incidents of these Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam have been mentioned in a very eloquent way, short verses, but very, very captivating. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the end of the surah, for which the surah also has been given the name of Surah al-Shu'ara, Allah ta'ala says that the shu'ara, the poets, are such that يَتَّبِعُهُمُ الْغَاوُونَ, that those who are deviant, who are misled, they are the ones who follow the poets. One of the accusations of the kuffar against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that he is a poet, and the Quran Majid is actually a compilation of the poetry of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah Ta'ala says, normally and generally, the poets are such that what they mention is more imaginary, it is more based on lie, on falsehood, on exaggeration, etc. And it is only the deviant people who follow them. But Allah Ta'ala Himself makes an exception to this, that إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, besides those who bring iman and do good actions and remember Allah Ta'ala in abundance, and also they avenge themselves after they had been oppressed. And in the meaning of this, the ulama explain that they counter the evil poetry of those who attack Islam with such poetry which is now in the defense of Islam. Which means that poetry which is based on wisdom, which is based on reality, and which imbues the love of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul into the hearts of the people, and it kindles the spiritually dead hearts of the people, such poetry is not only permissible, but commendable. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at one time, when the kuffar attacked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's personality through poetry, Allah Ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ordered Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, who used to now compose poetry, that answer on my behalf. And he mentioned many, many verses of poetry, many, many stanzas of poetry in the defense of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and of Islam against the kuffar. So when we hear the poetry being recited in the majalis of our akabir, it is not just for entertainment purposes, but it has an objective, and the objective is, as was mentioned now, to kindle the love of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul within our hearts, give us encouragement to now be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and many other wisdoms. So it is not merely for entertainment purposes. Thereafter, Surah An-Naml has been mentioned. Surah An-Naml, Naml means an ant, and it is also a Makki surah. Here too Allah Ta'ala expounds the aqidah of Tawheed, and particularly mention is made of, again, of the incidents of the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, of Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun, and also Allah Ta'ala mentions the incident of Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi musallam. Allah Ta'ala granted them immense knowledge, worldly as well as knowledge of Nabuwat, spiritual knowledge. Sulaiman alayhi salam was given kingship not only over humans, but also over the jinnat, over the animals. He could understand the speech and language of the animals also. The incident being mentioned here is that Sulaiman alayhi salam, once with his army, was marching through a valley which was inhabited by the ants. The ants, seeing the army coming, one ant called out to the others that enter your dwellings, lest Sulaiman alayhi salam and his army trample over you without them even perceiving and knowing. Sulaiman alayhi salam heard and understood the call of this ant. He smiled, which inevitably broke out into a laughter, and then he made the dua to Allah Ta'ala, O Allah Ta'ala, grant me the tawfiq, that I be grateful for the bounties which you have blessed me with, and which you have blessed my parents with. And I ask you that you give me the tawfiq to do good actions which are pleasing to you, and enter me into your mercy together with all the righteous and pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the incident of Hudhud, the bird, which when Sulaiman alayhi salam was inspecting the army of birds, then he found Hudhud missing. He even mentioned that if he does not give me a credible excuse, I will punish him severely, or I will slaughter him. But then Hudhud comes and informs Sulaiman alayhi salam, I've come across a region, a nation, which are worshipping the sun. And over them there is a woman who is ruling, the queen of Saba by the name of Bilqis. Sulaiman alayhi salam then sends a letter through Hudhud to Bilqis, who drops that letter into the lap of Bilqis, inviting Bilqis to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that she should come and submit in front of Sulaiman alayhi salam and submit to the truth. She makes mashwara with her courtiers and ministers, who then tell her that no, he's just a person like a king who wants to now enlarge and increase his land of sovereignty. But Bilqis knew that this was not just a normal king. He was a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. But to test him, she sent expensive gifts, and to find out that if he accepts those gifts, then he's just a king like the kings of the world, and we don't have to worry about him. But if he doesn't, then he is definitely a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sulaiman alayhi salam sends back those gifts and issues the warning that come to me in submission. In other words, submit to the command of Allah ta'ala, or else you have to face the wrath of the army of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Then Bilqis comes with her ministers and courtiers and submits to Sulaiman alayhi salam. Sulaiman alayhi salam shows her the great miracle that her coveted throne, which she held very dearly, which was in a distant place, in a split second, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam brought it in front of her, which made her even more, gave her more conviction of the truthfulness of the nabuwat of Sulaiman alayhi salam, and then she accepts Islam. And many commentators say that Sulaiman alayhi salam then retained her as the queen of Saba and even married her. Allah Ta'ala knows best. And the surah and the para then ends with the incident of the nation of Thamud and also the nation of Lut alayhi salam, how Allah Ta'ala then punish them when they refuse to accept the message of Haqq, and when they refuse to mend their evil ways, how Allah Ta'ala destroyed them. Their para ends on that. Subhanallah.